I promise I won't be up here very long. Amen. The children can be dismissed to the nursery. Amen. Luke 15 and 25. And you know this is the story of the prodigal son. But I'm starting at the end of the story. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou hast never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we thank you right now. Lord, I pray for an anointing. I pray for utterance, that this word, oh God, will find good soil. We thank you right now for filling this place with faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to someone, tell them, I'm glad you are here, and you may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the end part of the story of the prodigal son. And you, most of you, if you've ever been to church, know the story how the younger son took his father's inheritance and went out and basically partied, had him a good time. The elder son stayed at home, doing all the labor in the field, doing all the hard work, obeying the father, getting the goats, the cows, planting, seeding. And then here comes the younger son after he's made a mess, and he's welcome back. So as you can understand, the oldest son was not happy. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? That you've just been doing the right thing, you've been coming to church, you've been doing everything, and it seems everybody else is having a party. Everybody else is getting blessed. Everything else is working out right for the other person, and it seems that all you're doing is just working, and nothing good is happening to you. But I'm here today to let you know you're going to have a party. Amen. Amen. There's a party coming. Amen. I titled this message, The Victor's Crown. This month our theme is on victory through Christ. And I want you to know that even though you have been seemingly working and nothing good has been happening to you, there is coming a party. There is a victory celebration. There is a victor's crown that is going to be awarded to you if you endure to the end. Amen. Sometimes you feel just like the eldest brother. Everything good is happening to somebody else. It seems somebody else is getting the good job. Somebody else is telling you about getting this or getting that. And it seems that all you have been doing is praying and praying, and nothing good has been happening to you. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a time when it's your party. Amen. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9, it says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. I tell you, the party you don't want to miss is the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can have your rave out there on Wisconsin Avenue. You can have your New Year's Eve party on Times Square. But the party not to miss is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because I tell you what, it's the only party that really counts in the end. If you get your invitation to that, don't turn it down. You better RSVP and say, I'm coming for that one. I've booked my tux. I've got my shoes all polished. I am ready for that party. It doesn't matter the parties that you have missed down here, but there is one that is coming. It says, blessed, hallelujah. Blessed is he that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the party not to miss. That's by name only invitation. You can't slip in there. You can't gate crash that. You can't get in through the wall. No, that's by name only. And that's the party that the eldest son was told, listen, don't worry about what's happening to your brother. He has wasted his life, but you know, I still love him. He's still my son. God is so merciful. He is so gracious. He is so loving. But I'm telling you what, he still has a blessing for you. If you have been the eldest son, if you've been slaving away, if you have been doing all the right things, there is a party coming for you. Amen. And it's got your name written on it. Sometimes I feel like the eldest son. Don't you ever feel like that? It seems everything good is happening to someone else and that you're missing out on the good stuff. But there is a reservation in your name that's coming. There is a reservation in heaven that is coming. I want to encourage you today. The party is coming. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, the eldest son, we don't know how long it was that his brother had left him to do really double the work now. He was doing his work plus his brother's. I'm going to give you seven things that were told to be done. Seven things. Now, three of them are positive things that we should do. And four of them are things that we shouldn't do. And they total seven things. In Titus 3 verse 5, it says that it's not because of those things. It's not because of our righteousness that we can come to God. God loves us anyway because the youngest son had wasted the father's money. But what did he still get? He still got the ring and the robe. It's not because of working that you obtain the father's love. But we should still work because we're inside the Father's kingdom. Do you understand that he loved both sons? One wasted his money, one stayed at home and worked. Because it wasn't because of working that the Father loved them. He loved them because they were his sons. Do you get it? God loves you not because what you can do for him, but because he looks at you as his son. And there is a victor's crown coming. There is a party reserved in heaven for you. You ever been to a really swank party? You know, where it's all laid out, where you got your name on the table? I tell you, the party not to miss is our Heavenly Father's party. No one can throw a party like he can. The music will be bumping. It won't be by the world's best band. It will be by the angels of God. They will be singing. They will be playing. I used to be a good guitar player. When I was 17, I used to practice for hours. And I'm a little bit run down now, but I tell you what, I don't compare at my best with the music that's going to be happening when he says, come ye blessed, come into the party, come into the place reserved for you. So if you've been the eldest son, if you've been feeling kind of down and disappointed, there is a victor's crown yet reserved for you. Amen. It's not because of the eldest son's work, because you see, he accepted the youngest son as his son. But still, the eldest son was the obedient one who had worked. And we'll see that there were about seven things that we can find in the Bible that God would like us to do. In Acts chapter 15, verse 20, we find that there was a big council in the early church where they were trying to decide what the rules should be for the Gentiles. And we find that in Acts 20, they came up with four things. But that we write unto them that they should abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. So let me just summarize those four things. Idolatry. What does that mean? If you want to be the eldest son, you got to put the father's business first. If you want to get to that party that is reserved just for you, nothing should come before God. Everything should be secondary to his plan. The second thing was fornication, sexual immorality. Because this Bible, this body, the Bible says is the temple. Know ye not that this is the temple? This body needs to be consecrated. This body needs to be holy. We can't do any old thing with it. We can't put any old stuff in it. Because God wants this temple to be his dwelling place, his seat, his place of worship, his body that belongs to him. So number two was fornication. Number three was they shouldn't eat or drink anything or eat an animal that had been killed by strangulation. Now you ask me, why is that? Well, that's because the blood was inside it, and the blood represents life. And God had told them that you should not drink anything with blood. So those are the four things: idolatry, fornication, things strangled and from blood. Those were the only four things that the early church told the Gentile church to observe. For the lady who was listening about worshiping on the Sabbath day, guess what? That wasn't in it. Amen? These were the things that were told. Now, there were three things that Jesus told for a total of seven. And let's go to Matthew 28, 19. And you may wonder where I'm going with this. I'm talking about the victor's crown. If you want the victor's crown, you have to be the eldest son. The youngest son, he got the ring on the robe, but he did not get the crown. Let's look at this in Matthew chapter 28, 19. Jesus, just before he left, he told us three more things that we should do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now, I want you to notice something, that his last phrase was exactly what the father said to the eldest son. Son, lo, I am with you always. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, because he was speaking to us, the eldest son. We may not have had all the world's riches. Nobody may know your name. You may not have been out there and partied. You may not have a Rolls Royce or a Bentley. You may not have gotten all these world's goods, but there's a party coming for you. There is a victor's crown that is laid up for you. Amen. You see, we have to have a coach, as I said in Sunday school. When you want to run a race and you're an Olympic champion, you get the best coach you can. And we have someone who has run this race, who has been there before, and his name is Jesus Christ. See, when you take these things together, we see that there's some things that the eldest son was commanded to do and some things he had to stay away from. Amen? Verse 30 of that verse said, but as soon as this thy son was come, he hath devoured thy living with harlots. Fornication. Now, we don't want to talk about that, but that's what God says. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have to keep it holy. He had to work in the field. He had to bury the seed. He had to go out and, so to speak, plant the seed. Isn't that what God tells us? We have to go and teach. The last thing he had to do was to observe and obey the Father. The Father said, it's planting time. It's time to go milk the cows. And so we can see that the eldest son had some things he had to do if he was going to fulfill and get the victor's crown. I'm telling you today, you may not see what God has got prepared for you, but if you will just hold on to the end, he has got more than your mind can even begin to understand. The Bible says we see as through a glass darkly. You ever try to take up a smoke piece of glass and see anything? God has got some wonders prepared for you. If you will just hold on, there is a party coming. It says, blessed is he that is called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's not going to be a spread like it anywhere. I've been privileged to be at some, I think the most I've ever been was a wedding where they had 13 courses. And I thought, man, that's some wedding. But this is going to be not compared to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Heaven is going to be worth it. It's going to be more than you can imagine. It's going to be greater than you can think. It's going to be more better than anything you've ever dreamed of. You know, there's a program on one of the channels. There's a channel called A Wealth of Entertainment. Maybe none of you have seen it. But all they do is go into these $30 and $40 million mansions and show the marble swimming pools and the gold and everything. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know what? That's not going to compare, because I'm going to a better party. I've got a better house. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are not one or two mansions. It's better than Rodeo Drive. Better than Buckingham Palace. Better than Hampton Court. Better than Windsor Castle. There's a victor's crown. Hallelujah. But before you get the victor's crown, there's another crown that you first have to put on. The Bible says in Matthew 27, 29, before you wear the victor's crown, there was another crown that Jesus had to wear. In Matthew 27, 29, it says, and when they had planted a crown of thorns. You want to wear the victor's crown? You first have to suffer with him. Anybody suffering today? Anybody going through some tribulation? Don't worry. You know what that means? You're getting fitted for the crown. They're just taking your size right now. They're just getting you ready for the crown. They planted a crown of thorns and they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him. Satan will mock you. You go to church. Come on, we're having fun. The party's hot over here. Well, come on, it's not going to be any trouble over here. See, they mocked Jesus, but I'm telling you what, I'm skipping the earthly party because I know where the good one really is. Amen. I'm not going to, there's not going to be no gate crashes in that party. It's by invitation only, because you're going to have to come with the victor's crown. The Bible says it's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. Let me say it again. It's not a 100-yard dash. You have to have some endurance. You've got to build up your strength, because this is what the Bible says, he that endureth to the end. This is an endurance race. In Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The scripture says, think it not strange, the fiery trials. But you know what's happening? You're just getting fitted for them other crowns. You're just getting your crown of thorns now, because Jesus, our example, our Savior, first before he put on the royal diadem, he had to wear a crown of thorns. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever suffering, whatever trial you're going through, all you're doing is getting fitted. The Roman soldiers are just fitting you up for that royal robe that is eventually going to come. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not an if and or maybe. You're going to be persecuted. When you stand up at work and tell them, please, could you quit cursing? They're all going to look at you strange. When they're playing all their loud music that's got nothing but filth and foul, and you say, please, could you turn that down? They're not going to be too happy with you. All that want to live a godly life are going to suffer persecution. But all that means is, like Jesus, they're just plaiting a crown of thorns. They're just getting you ready for your victor's crown. Hallelujah. You see, to get the crown, a crown must have some jewels. You never have a crown that's just a crown. It's got to have some jewels in it. It's got to have some diamonds in it. And diamonds only are produced through pressure and heat. Anyone going through some pressure and heat? All you're doing is getting your diamonds ready for your crown. God has promised that those who will endure to the end, they shall receive a victor's crown. So your crown must have some jewels in it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Right now, it doesn't seem that I've got a crown. You know, everybody doesn't know my name. Nobody knows your name. Your name isn't famous. You're not a celebrity. That's what they said in the Old Testament. Malachi 3, 16. It said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. When we come here on a Sunday and we encourage one another and we tell testimonies of how God saved you, how God healed you, that's what we're doing. We're getting ready for our invitation. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, the Lord listened and heard it. You know what he's doing right now? He's writing in a book who's coming to the party. The Bible says, and a book of remembrance, isn't that what it says, was written before him. Whatever you're going through, God is writing it down. He's not going to let you owe him a penny. Whatever suffering you're going through, whatever trial you're going through, he's writing it down. The Bible says there was a book of remembrance that was being written down. And that thought upon his name. In Sunday school, we talked about how walking in the Spirit is meditating upon God's name. Let's go to the next part of that scripture. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. He's getting his list. He's not like Santa, who's naughty or nice. This is not that kind of list. This is much superior to that list. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. He's getting the crown ready, and the crown has got to have some jewels. And he has got a book of remembrance. Whatever you have suffered for his name, whatever scorn you have suffered, you go to that church where they speak in tongues, where they go down in the water, where they shout and jump around? Yes, I do. Amen. Yes, I do. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God, what? To salvation. Hallelujah. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. Did you know that God was a jeweler? Not only he's a jeweler, but he's a crown maker. Amen. Then shall he return and discern. There's coming a day when people are going to know who you are. They don't know who you are now, but there is coming a day, Jesus says, when they're going to know your name. The Bible says that we are going to reign and rule with him. I don't know which city you're going to get. Maybe you'll get Milwaukee. Somebody said they don't want Milwaukee. Amen. I don't know which city you're going to get, but the Bible says we are going to reign and rule with him. Hallelujah. You see, the crown has got to have some jewels. He's going to take off those thorns, and he's going to put some jewels in there. Let me just go over some of the crowns that we are going to get. The Bible speaks about an incorruptible, non-changing crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25. It says, and every man that striveth for mastery, if you want to win this race, if you want to be the master of this race, you got to be temperate. You can't be an extremist in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. This world always wants to strive for money. That's their crown, and ambition, and celebrity. But you know, that's going to fade. You look at the celebrities who were stars 20 years ago, and what do they look like now? Where is their fortune now? Where are their friends now? Those things are temporary, but his crown is eternal. His crown will not pass away. Here's another crown. Philippians 4:1. Speaking about a crown you get for witnessing. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, Paul says, my joy and crown. He had started and witnessed to the Philippian church, and he calls them a crown. I'm telling you this, that if you want to get the victor's crown, you're going to have to do some witnessing. Witnessing is another word for being a martyr. When you go out there and you say that you believe in speaking in tongues, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. You're going to be a martyr. They're going to think, what kind of nut are you? I tell you the kind of nut I am, the one that believes that Jesus is coming back. I believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, Paul again speaking about witnessing as being a crown. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? See, when they're plaiting you a crown of thorns, you can turn it into a crown of rejoicing. The Bible says when you should rejoice if you are suffering. Now that sounds tough. How can you rejoice when you're suffering? But I'm telling you, when you rejoice for suffering for the name of Christ, remember, he's got that book and he's writing it all down. And there's going to be a party in heaven called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. This is the party. It is the most exclusive. You can't just gate crash this one. It's only by invitation only. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks about a crown of endurance, and that's in 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul, near the end of his life, after risking his life, after being beaten, after being shipwrecked, after being whipped, after being tortured, near the end of his life, he said, look, there is laid up for me, 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Isn't that something? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But here's the good part. Here's the part I love. He says, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. This crown is for people who are looking for Jesus to come. This crown is people who are sick of the world. This crown is for people who want to get out of here. This crown is for people who have decided there's nothing down here that they're invested in. You know, when I was a teenager, I had ambitions. There was things I wanted to do. But I've come to the place now, there's nothing down here I want. You could not bribe me with anything down here because I want that crown of righteousness. But this crown is only for those who love his appearing. Would you like Jesus to appear? What would it mean for you? Would you be running to him or running away from him? I would love to run to him. I'd say, Lord, it's time. I'm sick of this world and its mess. I'm sick of man's inhumanity. I'm sick of murders. I'm sick of rapes. I'm sick of people killing people. I'm sick of the hatred. I'm tired of this world. I am looking for that crown of righteousness. I want my victor's crown. It's time for us to get ready. As I said, this is not a sprint, but this is an endurance race. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 12 tells us that the fifth crown. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive, and here's one, the crown of life. This temptation, if you really study it, it's about being willing to give up your life. How far are you willing to go? Amen. There's people even now in Syria and in Iraq, Christians who were beheaded for being Christians. We think it can't happen in America. It's impossible. Who to tell? We don't know what is going to happen in this world. The Bible says perilous times will come. You know what I'm saying? Perilous times have come. They are here now. When we look at Old Testament, it seems that no one ever realized the prophecy was happening in their time. It's only looking back. There's prophecy being fulfilled right now. We're missing it. Jesus is about to come back. If you could stand with me. I told you I would not be long. But if you want the victor's crown, there's some things you're going to have to do. There's some things you're going to have to not do. But he has promised us a victor's crown to those who love his appearing. Hallelujah. I want to read one more scripture. And it's called the crown of glory. That sums it all up. And it's in 1 Peter 5:4. And it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he's come to bring you to the party, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I've been privileged to go to the Tower of London in England. And in the Tower of London, in the basement, you go down these big basement, is where they keep the crown jewels of England. And when you go through this big vault, like 2-foot metal swing door, in the middle, there's this glass case about 10 foot wide, all glass all around. And in there, it's got the several different crowns. I don't even know all of them, but I know one of them. It's got a diamond in there about this big, like an egg. It's called the Cullinan Diamond. And in there is the crown jewels of England. It's got the scepter. And around that thing, you can't get close to it. It's like a moat, so you can't actually go up to it. But that is nothing to be compared with the crown of glory that Jesus said, when he shall appear, when the chief shepherd shall appear, I'm looking to receive my crown. Right now I may have the crown of thorns. Maybe I'm suffering. Maybe the thorns are hurting me. But you know, all that means is I'm getting fitted. All it means is you're getting fitted. And I want to leave you today with an optimistic message that if you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. If you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. If you're willing to put on the crown of thorns, he is willing to give you the victor's crown. If you are willing to humble yourself and to follow him, he's willing to give you that crown of righteousness. If you will love your life unto death, he's willing to give you the crown of life. The Bible says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Don't let anyone steal your crown. Revelation chapter 3 verse 11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast. And the last thing it says is, don't let anyone take your crown. Now it just so happens that I have a big head. 7.5 or something like that. So any of you try to steal my crown, it's not going to fit you. The scripture says, don't let anyone steal your crown. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Better put your hand on your head, you know. Hold on to that crown. Hold on to that crown. Don't let anyone steal your crown. Don't let circumstance steal your crown. Don't let sickness steal your crown. Don't let depression steal your crown. Don't let family member steal your crown. Don't let poverty steal your crown. Hold fast. Because when the chief shepherd appears, he's going to take that crown of thorns. The suffering you're going through right now, that crown of thorns that they pressed into his head, the blood that's running down, the pain you're in right now, he's going to take that crown of thorns when that chief shepherd shall appear, and he's going to give you a victor's crown, the crown of glory. I'm closing this service. If you want one of them crowns, it's easy today. All you have to do is accept and believe the promises that God has said. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Steal most of all your faith. Because when your faith is gone, that's when hope is gone. No matter what situation you're in, if you still have faith, you can still make it. The Bible said Jesus endured the cross. He endured the crown for the joy that was set before him. He wasn't looking and thinking about the crown. He was thinking about the resurrection. He wasn't thinking about the nails and the whips. He was thinking about the glory of the resurrection. He was thinking about the time when the angel was going to come down and roll away the stone. And when everybody could look in that tomb and there was nobody there because he was gone. Who for the joy that was set before him endured. We're in the endurance part right now. Right now we got the crown of thorns on. It may be painful. They may be mocking you. But remember that scripture, when he, the chief shepherd, shall come, he's going to take that off and he's going to give you a crown of glory. I'm finishing this message right now. If anyone would like to pray, please come to the front. We will pray with you. I will tell you this. We are living on the edge right now.